Brother Randy and Sister Alice for playing the hymn selection. Well, friends, before we begin and turn the podium over to Brother Berndeckolt, we do want to express thanks to Brother August and Sister Marianne, who have helped us out this year with some of the PA systems and the taping and recording work. We have really appreciated that quite a bit. As you know, Brother August and Sister Marianne were at the New England Convention recently and served in that same function. We're very glad to have them here today. It is a blessing to have them, and we appreciate their service very much. We look forward to the discourse of Brother Bernd for this afternoon session. His title is The Good Shepherd. We know that we're going to have a fine lesson, and we look forward to the blessings that the Lord has at the hand of Brother Bernd in this discourse. Again, it's entitled The Good Shepherd, and Brother Bernd will go from 1:15 to 2 o'clock. At that time, we'll ask Brother Bernd to close, and we'll ask Brother Jonathan Benson to come forward because we'll have a testimony meeting right after Brother Bernd's discourse. So if you're thinking about testifying, there will be that opportunity this afternoon. All right, friends, Brother Bernd, entitled The Good Shepherd.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. Well, dear brethren, again, it's lovely to see all of you. We have some requests, and some of the brethren approached me as far as the knowledge of a couple of accidents of our brethren in our class. And we thought that at this time we opt to give you that information a little bit better in the beginning of the testimony or at the testimony meeting, because the remarks are a little bit detailed, and I'm sure that you'd want to know what took place and so forth. So we're going to hold off on those remarks and that information at the testimony. The our class did send their love. I know there are a couple of us here, but the remaining members sent their love with a text. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, and that's to all of you friends here from our little class at Jersey City. As you've heard, the Good Shepherd, that's not my statement. The Lord himself used that phrase, and he said it in John 10:14 and 15. I am the Good Shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Well, you've already heard dissertations. I'm sure that many of you have walked in the truth of quite a few years. And you've probably heard the Psalms 23rd expounded from the platform, maybe in different ways. Well, when I go home out there in Pennsylvania at times from work, or we're driving around a little bit, they have quite a few farmers out there that do have sheep. And at several occasions when you drive by and you look at the little lambs and the sheep, and you take a look at them and you say, that is supposed to be illustrative of me. Because if we go back to what I just said, we're sheep. And if that's me, what, in which way or manner is that me? Or how am I treated in the sense of that the shepherd is taking care of me, and is that it? Well, David, in the Psalms, who wrote the 23rd Psalm, was a shepherd himself. And when he wrote the 23rd Psalm and all the words to it, he likened himself as one of those sheep. So now it becomes a little bit more, there are more implications involved, because each statement that he made, he saw himself as one of those sheep. And you know, he spent years as a shepherd, thereby he was authoritative of looking at what the behavior of these sheep are and why he would liken himself to the sheep and how the Lord actually used these illustrations that he's the shepherd, the good shepherd. Well, you know that the 23rd Psalm is the most recited, memorized, best known. When you go to a funeral, most of the cards that you get, quite a few funerals that I've attended, always has a 23rd Psalm on it. It's beautiful. And all of Christianity is aware of its beauty, and many try to apply the words to it themselves. They get comfort from it. But our discourse is going to be just a little bit different because of David looking at the sheep and bringing out the characteristics, and that's what we're going to be dwelling on today, and their lessons to us, lessons for growth, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. And that's all in that 23rd Psalm. So when we take this apart, it's a little different approach. As you know, it's applied even as the last breath leaves our body. Many of them recite it, not only ourselves, but other Christians. They love it. And Jesus always used the natural illustration to present the point, and David at this time did too. The reasons were men in an earthly environment, capable of understanding lessons and illustrated by natural means. It's easy. It's easy to enter into, and it's easy to take the lessons from it. To dwell on the 23rd Psalm is very helpful, and when we examine the sheep's traits and what they do, it helps us. David was a shepherd himself, as we said, also the son of a shepherd. And later he was known as a shepherd king of Israel. He did not illustrate the characteristic of the sheep whom he was so well acquainted with, but with some research we could surely find out. Some of the material presented here today is taking from a shepherd, a literal shepherd that knows how to deal with these animals, that owned, lived, and was in solitude with his flock. And when we see the behavior of these defenseless animals, we can see the Lord used to illustrate, and why the Lord used to illustrate that point to make known to us. So we begin. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, you know, as we say, everybody even has it memorized. In order for us to utter those exact words, two things are in order. We have to know who our Lord is and then place ourselves fully in his care. And that's basically really what the whole import of this lesson is. We had two different lessons this morning, but this one is to fully rely on our Lord Jesus in all our circumstances, no matter what befalls us in our environment. When David spoke those words, he obviously likened himself to a sheep. And before we begin, again, it's helpful to see ourselves in there, just as I did when I rode past the farm, and you look at them, the cute little lambs and the sheep themselves. David fully knew who his Lord was, and with the sense of pride and boldness, the word "my shepherd" were expressed. Are we proud to say that our Lord is our shepherd? I don't mean a pride, a false pride. I mean proud in that we really have the Lord the way we understand. You know, we can say yes with a definite conviction, all of us here, because we truly belong to him. You've given everything up, and we belong to him, no one else. He laid down his life for us and the world, and therefore he could say the words, "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." We have been bought with a price. The life of a shepherd is continually laying down his life on behalf of his sheep so that they would flourish and prosper. That's the whole point. I remember back in Europe when I was a little kid, in Germany, there was a shepherd out there, and I wondered what this did with his flock. He stayed with them constantly. And even as a little boy, I wondered, what do they do all the time out there by themselves with sheep herding? The facts present themselves that sheep do not take care of themselves. That's why. What does that do to you and I? If we've given everything up, we're not going to take care of ourselves in that degree. They require more attention, meticulous care than any other class of livestock. I don't know if you knew that either. It is no accident that the Lord classed us as sheep, by the way. He didn't pick that animal arbitrarily. There's a reason, as we know. The behavior of sheep and human beings is somewhat similar. They have fears. They're timid. They're stubborn. Our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance, which they have. You think they're all cutesy? They can be obnoxious, as we see as we go in here. The Lord is ever interceding for us, and he's ever guiding us with his Spirit. Well, we know who he is. In Hebrews 13:20, Paul says, "The Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the sheepman, the owner of his own distinctive earmark, which he has to cut into the ear of the sheep." That way, he could even tell from a distance which sheep belongs to him. The process was not a pleasant one, given the earmark to his sheep. Each one of his flock would have its ear placed on a wooden block and would be notched with a razor-sharp knife. Once the painful process to both the owner and the sheep was finished, the ownership would never be erased. Is our ownership ever going to be erased? No. We're his. We also bear this mark. It too was painful in many ways in the beginning, prior to consecration. Actually, prior to consecration, we had to go through pain of uncertainty, of counting the cost, of giving up the Father Adam's house, which is also a very painful step. It's not easy to do that, to leave family at certain instances to side with the Lord, and to take the step of consecration. But once the ordeal was over, of counting the cost at times, painful, what a wonderful reward. And the wonderful peace that we found to be ours to call him our shepherd. Now we continue on. I shall not want. For us to utter this proud, bold statement, we definitely would have to be utterly satisfied condition. Are we, brethren? Perfectly content with our lot in life? Well, if we're not, then we need to reconsider of our shepherd and that he's taken fully care of us. The meaning of want here has a broader meaning than we should first imagine. The main concept that is not lacking, not deficient. We would be utterly contented in the good shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything anymore. Well, I'm questioning myself. It's very difficult to follow this pattern of not having desiring anything. We do, but it has to be within the confines of the spirit of a sound mind. Contentment should be the hallmark of any of us who have put our affairs into the hands of God, but especially it applies to this affluent age. But the outstanding paradox is the intense fever of discontent among people who are ever speaking of security. And what's at fire now is the security itself in the world that we live. Are we as insecure as the rest of the world is the question. Being in that kind of environment, there's a rubbing off process taking place. We're bombarded constantly with the news. What does it do to us after a while? When we wake up in the morning, we click it on, we see the same thing repeat itself in the evening. Do we get ourselves away from that? We have to be on guard and examine the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and see for ourselves if this be true. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The strange things about sheep is because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to made to lie down unless four requirements are met. And I'll give you these four. And I want to see if you're following or are in this requirement process. Number one, it says, being timid animal, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. That's the first one. If you have fear of anything, you will not be laying down contently. Because of their social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others from their kind. If you have frictions amongst, in a spiritual sense, amongst ourselves, we are not comfortable. Number three, if tormented by flies and parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free from these pests can they relax. We'll spiritualize on that a little bit. And when sheep feel in need of food, they will not relax and lie down. They must be free from hunger. So now we have four things. Fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger. The unique aspect of this picture is that only the shepherd himself can provide release from these anxieties. Nobody else can, brethren. Not your job, not your boss, not your wife, not anyone. Can you relieve you or husband from that? You have to go to the shepherd to have relief. If fearful, restlessness, discontentment is in the flock, they will not do well. It is well known in the fact that even a jackrabbit, which comes along out from among the bushes, startles one of the sheep, can stampede the whole flock. They have little or no means of self-defense. That's another reason the Lord picked them as an example. They are helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only resource is to run to the nearness and whereabouts of the shepherd. What does that remind us of? Where do we run? Who can help us when we're in trouble? Why, of course, our shepherd, our Lord. By doing so, the assurance of his precious promises that really jump out at us, out of his word many times, come to our mind, and then the peace returns to the new upset creature. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Second point. That was the first one. The second we'll dwell on. Sheep will not lay down if any among themselves there is unrest. It has been known that each flock has a few sheep that are always discontent. Picture ourselves as a flock. Because as we said, look at yourself as one of those sheep. Always discontent. They butt the less aggressive sheep around and create havoc. They too have a conflict to prove out to be jealousy and other things. And then whenever that environment exists, the other sheep become irritable and they start losing weight. But as soon as they see the shepherd, the sheep very quickly forget their foolish rivalries. And you know, brethren, so with us. We have social behaviors, differences in the body of Christ. We too forget the Lord's presence. We quibble over minute things, whether they are about the Lord's word or the flesh. But when we recognize Christ's presence, we fit this psalm of laying down with a sense of serene contentment. Scriptures like 1 Timothy 6:6 come into our minds. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul's statement in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Can we say that, brethren? It's not an easy task. There are many of our brethren that are having multiple tasks to do, to help others, to lay our lives down in the course of their service. What is our attitude when we take care of them? Not an easy thing to do. The third reason why sheep won't lay down, they're pesky little parasites, flies and other insects such as nasal flies, bot flies, warble flies, we can go on and on. The sheep shake their heads, stamp their feet. The shepherd will find relief by guiding them to shady areas. He dips their fleece to get rid of the ticks. Our Christian life is full of small irritations. They're pretty frustrating, disagreeable experiences. In other words, we get bugged. You get bugged, I get bugged. And literally with these sheep, they get bugged. The answer, Christ can apply the antidote. This is the function of our Lord giving us the soothing, comforting oil, which has the healing effects of these irritations. And then the fourth that we talked about, they can't lie down due to hunger. Many of these sheep, countries are dry, semi-arid areas. For instance, in Palestine, where David wrote the Psalms, where he kept his father's flocks in dry, brown, sunburned wastelands, green pastures didn't happen by chance. The shepherd leads the flock to grazing grounds where he knows where it can be found. He knows that a well-fed flock means peace and growth. Spiritualize this. So with us, the green pastures of spiritual food is very important to our spiritual growth. You have to determine where you can grow. If you find an environment where your growth is not that good, or you feel you could have it some other place, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to grow to the expectation to making our calling and election sure. My father, my natural father, was a cabinet maker and by trade, a wonderful builder, very talented man. But during the wartime in Europe, we lived there, and you had to try your hands at everything. So he tried his hand at livestock, and we had everything from turkeys jumping up and down, chickens, and everything. Tried to survival game. Well, he too got a sheep. Well, not being a shepherd, he took it into grazing grounds that the sheep loved it in there, and it was clover. And clover, that sheep died an agonizing death. And my father, not being a shepherd, led this animal in there, and he thought it was doing great because the sheep gorged itself with it, and it was the wrong kind of food. It died horribly, actually. I remember that. So they have to have certain kinds of foods that have to be supervised. The Lord will lead us into the areas, not somebody else. Jesus said in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. When we partake of God's word, that is proper grazing ground for us. Let's get into the scriptures. All right, let's go on with the song. He leadeth me beside still waters. I love this part because this particular shepherd found something about the still waters part. Note again the word he leadeth me. Without a shepherd, the sheep would go on drinking finding any drinking hole they would take and partake to fulfill their thirst. And with that would come disease, and they would get worms and stagnant water and so forth and so on. But all through the psalm so far, completely dependency on the shepherd is stressed. That's the whole point of that 23rd psalm. Everything is my Lord and him directing the pathway. And again, David picturing himself as that. Generally speaking, water for sheep comes from three sources: deep wells, springs, streams, and dew on grass. And I never knew this. People are not aware that sheep can go on for months on end without actually drinking if there's a heavy dew on the ground each morning. Sheep by habit rise before dawn, start to feed in the early hours, and the vegetation is drenched with dew, and the sheep can take in the required amount of water with their food. And dew is clean, clear, pure water, source of water. What more befitting picture than still waters? They're not running. They're still. It's dew. Spiritually speaking, there are beautiful pictures in these illustrations. In the morning hours, concentration and meditation and study on God's word is claimed to be the most beneficial to the new creature. The day is just starting. The mind is refreshed. There's a sense of keenness. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. John 7:37. He told the woman by the well that the water that the Lord would give her, she would never thirst again. In a spiritual sense, that's true, because he is the water, the truth, the life. Let's go on with the psalm. He restoreth my soul. David, whom we envision as a shepherd, had tasted defeats in his life. If you ever did a story on life, on David, it's amazing. What he undergone later on due to the lessons that he bore from that experience prior in his life. He felt frustration of falling under temptation. He was acquainted with hopeless feelings and without strength in himself. In Psalms 42:11, he cried out, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You talk about depression? I think so. I think he felt the guilt and the weight of what he did. There's a parallel thought to this in caring for sheep. A shepherd is very familiar with the term cast down. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But cast down or cast down sheep, it's an old English term for sheep that has turned itself on its back and can't get up again by itself. This happens quite frequently and many of them die. It can't come back on its own. A cast sheep is a pathetic sight with its feet in the air, frantically struggling to stand up without success. It lashes out in frightened frustration, and if the owner doesn't arrive at the scene within a reasonable time, the sheep will die. You can imagine a helpless sheep lying on its back, and it's sure invitation to other things, not just because it's going to die, because just laying there and can't move around, but dogs, coyotes, cougars, buzzards, and the like, and a tendency or dependency is totally in the shepherd's hands again, to make sure that all the flock is well taken care of. All the sheep have a tendency to become cast. So when we look at ourselves, it's not just a few different types. All of us have that propensity. Interesting, it happens to those where the buoyancy is a little quicker, which means a little fatter, which means when we get into the scriptures of being in the world and not of it, that kind of a thing. They find the ones that are getting cast, they find depressions in the ground where they get comfortable. Rolls over to its side to relax. And the center of the gravity of the body shifts. And panic sets in. And with panic, things only get worse. And before you know it, it's upside down. In other words, it's on its back. It rolls even further over and becomes impossible for it to regain on its feet. Circulation is cut off because the feet are now in the air and all the blood goes out of it, especially the legs. And if weather is hot, sheep can die in a few hours. Apply this picture to ourselves. Now, let's get into the spiritual aspects of this. It's really beautiful. Our Savior takes loving, tender care of us even while we are in a cast-down position. Many of us fall at some time or another in our spiritual walk. We become frustrated, helpless, oftentimes in a spiritual dilemma. We feel God will be fed up with us. These are forms of depressions. We're not going to go into that because that's a topic all on its own. So the sheep in this condition beckons for help, and the shepherd is at its side for the cast sheep as soon as he hears their cry. Again, actual full dependency. He tenderly lifts the sheep up to restore circulation before it can run, holds it so that the blood gets back in the legs, and so with us he restoreth our soul. The tenderness, the love, the patience that he used to restore Peter's soul. Just think about this, brethren. After the terrible tragedy of his temptations, and in the classic picture of Christ restoring the soul of one of his own. There are lesson pictures in this. We are the sheep, can also look for comfortable spots. We can lay down, stretch out in the cozy corners of our life, where we had possibly looking for no hardships, no need for endurance, no demands upon self-discipline. This can happen because we're still natural human beings in that sense. So we're looking for the comforts of the flesh, and this is the only way that the casting position can happen. The expression goes, we have it made. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Some sheep have so much wool that mud and manure and burrs and other debris get stuck on them, helps them get cast. Wool, as you know from Brother Russell's thoughts, and you're going to come across that many times, represents self-life. The things that weigh us down are worldly ideas, accumulations of things, our own desires and aspirations. And we, with these, we too could become cast. Sheep really don't like to be shorn. But in order, and of course, I work with a guy that has some sheep a while back, and they really have to hold them. They don't like it to be that would be taken off, the wool. But in order to preserve them from that dilemma, these actions have to be taken. We, too, have these accumulations of various things. Detrimental to our new creature, or the new creature cut off. So the master applies the sharp cutting edge of the word in our lives. We also struggle. We kick and get some wounds and cuts. But what a relief of being free from ourselves. What a thought, brethren. Free from ourselves. That's the intent of our new creature. The scriptures come to mind, put off the old man with his deeds. The fatter sheep are the ones that are cast down most frequently. Their legs are weaker, required that they lay down more. Spiritually speaking, some of God's people have the thoughts that doing well in their jobs, in their homes, that comfort brings peace of mind. But the danger to us all is that we could become cast of fatness. And then we keep on going, right in the psalm, I mean. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. It has been known that if left to themselves, they themselves would follow the same trails and they'd become ruts. They would graze the same hills until they become desert waste. And with poor management, many sheep ranges have been ruined beyond repair. That's, again, if they're left onto their own. Sheep cannot just get along just anywhere, compare with cattle. Sheep require careful, detailed guidance. They will gnaw the grass to the very ground until the roots are damaged. A cow won't do that. Cattle ranchers in the United States feared sheep ranchers because of their destructive habits. They didn't want them around. Erosion would result, and the scripture says, "He leadeth me," is the point. In a few words, the Lord has a definite plan for the action laid out for us. As a shepherd rotates the grazing ground, again, everything is left up to the Lord, not us. So the Lord leads us into the paths of righteousness. If left to our own judgment, the ground that we would travel would lead to destruction. Just as the world and the pyramid demonstrations that we had last 2 weeks ago. We know that the Jews were referred to as a stiff-necked people. Well, we could be fitting that picture very well and very easily. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way," until the Lord comes in the picture. Sheep follow each other until their little trails become ruts, as we said, and they become gullies. Now let's continue on some more with the psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Before reaching the higher grazing ground, with summer months approaching, the shepherd and his flock had to pass through valleys which would be scarred by deep ravines and gullies and draws. And some are long, tedious drives, and the shepherd is leading them slowly but persistently up these slopes. But in order to reach the mountaintop, the trail was eventful and full of experiences. We know that the valley of the shadow of death originated with Adam's fall. Since then, all of God's creatures have been walking in this hovering shadow of death. The valley of sin is the broad road that leads to death, and we tread the same way according to the flesh, but unlike the world, which has no shepherd, they could not say, "My shepherd." Are we privileged? Yes. "Who will fear no evil? Why, it is the Lord's sheep." You don't fear any evil, do you? I certainly would hope not. Not with the one that is in our corner, brethren. There is nothing to fear. The Lord has shown us favor and the redemptive price already paid. Is there any wonder that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death singing, making melody? Well, if it comes to our doorstep, and it will, let's think about these psalms and these wonderful thoughts and the scriptures that have brought marred out. Let's go on. "The rod and their staff, they comfort me." In the Middle East, the shepherd carries only a rod and a staff. And the rod is the main weapon of defense for both himself and the sheep. The effectiveness is a thrill to behold in the hand of a shepherd. It's an extension of his right arm. It's a symbol of power in the scriptures. And everyone remembers Moses' rod when he used it in the Pharaoh's presence, when he demonstrated God's power vested in him. When his rod became a snake and swallowed up all the other snakes that the Pharaoh magicians produced, Exodus 4, 2 and 3, the scriptures are God's rod. They are an extension of his mind and his will, an intention for mortal men and angels. The second dimension is in which the rod is used is that for discipline. Does he discipline us? Yes, he does. The shepherd would skillfully let the club fly through the air at a misbehaving sheep wandering on its own, getting too close to poisonous weeds or whatever. And when that club came whistling, the sheep would come scurrying back to the bunch. In Ezekiel 20:37, the phrase is used, "passing under the rod." A sheep that is passing under the rod is one of the counted, or is counted as if at having passed under the rod comes under firsthand examination. You know, you and I are being examined firsthand by our Savior. It's not easy to detect disease, wounds, and other defects on a litter of sheep. So the skilled shepherd, our Lord, uses his rod to chasten or chastise us, to bring us back into the fold, And if we were to wander off into unknown areas, detriment to the new creature, he would take care of that too. I don't know. I think you brethren probably walk into some religious stores getting a book or something, religious material. Or if you ever see a picture on a wall with a shepherd having a sheep wrapped around a lamb over his shoulders, that doesn't only depict the closeness. There's a picture. There's something else inferred in that picture, if you ever see it. What happens is that when there are wayward sheep and they do not listen, other measures have to be taken. It's been literally known that a shepherd, if you have a real obstinate one that is his, and he constantly has to retrieve it, he'll break his leg. Literally break his leg. Put the sheep over his neck, and the sheep stays there until it mends, and then he puts it down. The sheep never leaves again. So we have spiritual pictures and a lot of things of reprimand, of being dealt with in an area of that needs to be looked at a little closer with experiences and chastisements. And as we go through, as he goes through the wool with his rod and goes through the of the flesh into the inward parts, David comes out with something that I thought was the most profound statement he ever made, because it left an impact in my life. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into everlasting." Into a way everlasting. Can you imagine this, brethren? Can you do this in prayer? To say, God, take a look in there. I don't know myself what's in there. And examine me and kind of lead me into this certain direction. Instead of just a prayer coming from you to God, but to invite him in and kind of look. And then let me know what's in there. Are we fearful of something like that, perhaps? Maybe I was. But by looking at this scripture, it becomes a reality. No other profession carries a shepherd's staff. It was only used on sheep and no other animals. The staff is essential, a symbol of concern and compassion and comfort. That's not the same as a rod. Staff has that hook on it. The rod conveys authority and power and discipline. The staff speaks of long-suffering kindness. The staff is used in three main functions. It's to draw the sheep together onto an intimate relationship. He uses it to bring them together. The shepherd lifts the newborn lamb and brings it so close to its mother. He draws some of the favorites close to himself to intimate examination. It's very useful to get acquainted with the more withdrawn sheep. Secondly, it's also used for guiding them for the proper path to take. Thirdly, the staff is used to free a sheep that gets entangled in ravines. So like our Christian walk, friends. The Lord's staff of kindness draws us together in intimacy and close to the Lord. He puts us here. Are we the ones in position to say, I don't have anything to do with you or you or you? I don't think so, brethren. I think we better sharpen up on a lot of those kind of thoughts. He chose you and I to be here. And it's not for us to withdraw from one another. We're all brethren chosen by the Lord. And this is kind of implemented in here, intimated in here. Thirdly, the staff is used to free the sheep that gets entangled, as we said. And he also lifts the newly born begotten babes of Christ close to the ones that are able to feed and sustain its spiritual life under the supervision of Christ. And we have lots more to go, and I think I had a couple more minutes, correct? We were... As I go on now, actually, that was the thought of compassion with the staff. It says, "Thou preparest the table for me in the presence of mine enemies." In David's mind, as he wrote with Psalm in the Psalms, remember the sheep being guided through the valley and the mountains the summer months. And they're mesas, actually. So David could have referred to the high summer ranges as tables or mesas that were remote and hard to reach. And a beautiful thought here is, that the shepherd was energetic and aggressive to go ahead of the flock, making survey trips through this rough and wild country. The Lord prepares a table for you and I. He makes sure we get the proper food. He makes sure the needs are fulfilled. And he, to walk ahead of us, was tested on all points as we are. He's a forerunner. And as we skip down, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now we're at the height of this poem. We picture the sublime setting of the table of high mesas, meadows, the grazing peacefully the sheep, but still find a fly in the ointment, so to speak. For a sheep man, summertime is also fly time. And everyone here that has pets or is acquainted with animal life knows the serious problems that insects can cause in the summertime. We don't have time to mention all the species. But there are certain kind of flies that are irritating to the sheep themselves. What's the antidote? Let me get to the spiritual aspects. The shepherd could forestall the condition by applying soothing olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices, spilling over the head of the sheep and rubbing it in the spots likely for the fly attacks. What a transformation this would make among all the sheep. All that study scriptures know that the oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. In our spiritual walk, the flies and the parasites, the annoyances that we are all feeling at times, I'm sure causes irritation. And so he does this to us. Like the sheep, it's daily renewal of oil that will keep us in a state of acquiescence. No wonder our cup runs over, friends. The full cup of joy and gladness. And let me wrap it up with the last phrase of that 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. Is goodness and mercy following us would be the question. What does that mean? If we say they are, we could ask ourselves a few questions. What kind of tracks do we leave behind as we endeavor to follow our master? Have you ever given that some thought? What impact we would have on other lives when we kind of pass away out of their lives? What do they remember about us? Did I leave peace or turmoil? Did I leave bitterness or forgiveness? Did I leave contentment or conflict? Did I leave behind flowers of joy or frustrations? And we could ask ourselves a lot more questions. These attributes of goodness and mercy are everlasting, and they spell love, friends. Let's make sure we love, that we have love covering our trails of life. And let us again establish and set our goals to dwell with the Lord. And if we are obedient sheep and we continue the leading of the Good Shepherd, we shall eventually dwell in the heavenly house of the Lord forever as a member of the royal divine family, as the bride and joint heirs of Jesus and his kingdom. May the Lord add his blessing, brethren, as you see that David saw in that sheep these characteristics as he studied them and saw his own life right before him through bitter experiences. So we are talking from a man leading us when we say there is an experienced forerunner in David. May the Lord bless you.